Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares a look at universal energy healing, spiritual communication, and ways to awaken to true human and divine potential. Today I am delighted to welcome Sharifi Brown, author of The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity, and share her personal journey through living within three religions to discover the seven key principles that can be applied to any religion that can resonate and bring clarity to often conflicting and confusing ideologies and a new awareness of what often leads religious followers to deviate from the simple and pure grace of the divine. Hello, Sherry, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Sherry, as listeners of this show are aware, my guests and I share our joy of life, our experiences, and connection to spirit in the hopes of illuminating basic principles of energy and universal law, which allow for an awakening to our true nature as both spiritual and physical beings. Awareness of the dual nature of our being allows for creating opportunities and choices to manifest and create a prosperous and healthy, happy life. With this wisdom and knowledge, each of us awakens to a higher consciousness and moves beyond the restrictions of ego and a physical life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Sherry Brown, a structural engineer who worked on a project between the Shah of Iran and Hughes Aircraft in 1976 and has received a postgraduate degree from Harvard in Tehran, was also born a Shiite Muslim in Iran, converted to Christianity, and married into a Jewish American family. Sherry is the complete composite of a person who has walked the walk and talks from many experiences with the three Abrahamic religious theory and life. We will discuss the compatibility of these religions and learn the key elements of all three major religions to make us whole and secure and to see that the similarities outweigh the differences. As I have said many times on this show, when appropriate, if we could bring the religions together and end the separation that religion often creates, we might actually find the peace we hope for and the resolution of our many prejudices, which any separation from God, man, or nature creates and amplifies. Sherry, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, event, a place, or interest that was most valuable to them and which may have already exposed them to the life and work that they find rewarding now as adults. So think back for a minute.
Well, when I was raised in Iran, even though my parents were not per se too religious, but I was really curious about religion. And what we knew about Islam was very abstract because nobody really could read Arabic. Plus, Arabic, Quran is written in a very complicated way. And the Farsi translation does not do justice. So it wasn't until later on that when I became a Christian, I realized that Christians say the same thing as Muslims, except Christians say everybody who's not Christian goes to heaven, hell. Muslims say anybody who's not a Muslim goes to hell. So it became very complicated.
It actually isn't, and I'm Jewish, and I wasn't told anything about going anywhere after living this
right
physical life.
So I decided to study on my own started from Torah. 28 years ago, I started reading the Torah, then New Testament, and Quran in English. Cover to cover, each one of them. Every day I read a chapter of each one of them. And every time I finish one publication, I read another publication. And I was actually looking for discrepancies of these three religions and this, between this, the same, for instance, Quran or Bible. They have some discrepancies that either you don't know, or it's vagueness and ambiguity about in translations, because you know, you realize that these books were written years after these prophets died, and there was no printing at that time, so everybody was copying everybody else's handwriting and improvising what they thought in that it's not right. So I decided to study it for myself to find out, and now after almost 30 years of studying all of this, I came to some realization that I would love to acquaint your listeners to these very important points, that because Christians never read Quran, Muslims never read the Bible, so basically people take anything that is religious leaders say on a face value. But I wanted to clear that, a few things. For instance, the reason why I converted to Christianity was because I related with Christ more and his commandments. But they're all the same. They're all complete each other. It's almost like all of these three prophets were, out of 124,000 prophets, chose these three prophets to give them his message to bring for us. And there's all, each one of them completes the other two. One cannot do without it.
They work together. It's like beginning a project and having the beginning and the middle, but there really is
right.
No end, because we're evolving as souls and the creative force within us, or the divine spark. So there really is no end. And of learning to have gratitude for all forms of life and respect
yes.
for each other.
That's what Jesus said.
Yes.
That's what Muhammad never said, that I am a prophet or this is a new religion. He just came to, basically, Quran is based on Christianity and Judaism. What he condemned in Quran, basically, was the title of Christianity and Judaism, not as ethnicity, but as religion. He said that these titles show segregation, as if these are different religions than believing in one God. So he called Jesus a Muslim, which Muslim, the word Islam means believing in the higher power and have total obedience. He called Moses a Muslim. So when it comes to Muhammad, his religion and his simple message was lost right after he died, because Abu Bakr took over because he was a governor and he had more power. He was from Bani Umayyah, which Muhammad came to God, said that these people are violent, you come and straighten them out. So what happened, they hijacked religion. They wrote something that they call Hadith of Muhammad. Muhammad never had, he wasn't literate, nor could he even have had time to write such a big book called Hadith. These were all written after that. There is no way in Quran, nowhere, that said women have to cover their head. I really think that that calling these people Mars Islam, we are doing three things wrong. One is insulting Muslims all over the world, putting validity on the fact that these guys are Islamic jihadists, and shows a lack of, even Donald Trump this, if you, when you work, when you use word Islamic jihadis, this only shows a lack of knowledge about Islam. Islam, our jihad is a defensive act, not an offensive, violent act. And I think 80% of these people who follow these teachings have not read Quran. So they take what these people, terrorists, say on a face value. Why don't we call them radical Arabs or radical French or radical Americans? Why do we even tarnish this title of Islam?
Well, but we do have to find a way to understand what we're dealing with the people who are abusing the Quran and the religion.
Muhammad never said to kill the way they do. If these people, for instance, in 2014, when ISIS issues statements that has been taken out of context, if Muhammad said anything negative about Christianity, he was too harsh, in my opinion, on the title. He was talking about the title, not followers of Christ. Followers of Christ, followers of Moses, they're all Muslims. So when you attack 9/11, when you attack those towers or attack the nightclub, the ones who get killed, they're the martyrs, according to Quran. Now, because everybody has something against reading this book or understanding it, they think that this is jihad. Has nothing to do with jihad. We're just killing these people, and the people, if there is any consolation, the people who are getting beheaded are, according to Quran, are the ones who are going to heaven and they're martyrs. Not these killers, psychopaths that now they have carte blanche from ISIS to kill anyone they want, anywhere they are. And then ISIS says that they claim the victory. Killing people, Muhammad was very, very peace-loving person. He says in Quran, I sent you Moses, you didn't listen to me.
You're saying that this deviant form of political agenda,
right,
by these people who live in the Middle East and are trying to gather land or power or a state are not following the religion that you know to be.
Cheryl, not even one threat of Islam. And then these people love the bloodshed. He says in the Quran, he said to Muhammad, I sent you for these people because they love. They get this exhilarated feeling when the blood gushes out. Why do you think they behead people? I see their faces when I see Osama bin Laden, this was better than we thought because we didn't kill just a few people. There were more key people. And then he wasn't even the main guy. We always we made the mistake to make plans with Khomeini and overthrow Shah and bring Khomeini, who was the enemy of Islam, of America. He said it. I was in Iran when he was actually exiled because of animosity he had towards Americans, and I have no idea why. America didn't exist during the Muhammad and Quran. Now this anger, whatever it is this people have against us, has nothing absolutely to do with Quran. They are not religion. I was in Iran during the revolution.
I want you to tell us about the crisis in the Iranian revolution, and it taught you several things. So tell us about that experience so we can get an idea of what you saw when that government took
over.
Well,
I went to Iran because I had experience in working on Shah's project that we built for them, underground projects. We were friends, and we were trying to make a military base in the border of Russia, as Russia had Cuba in the border of America. So we did that. I was working the project here in America in Ralph Parsons. After that, we showed them how to build missiles. we hired a huge aircraft. We made the contract. We showed them that. Then all of a sudden, Carter comes, and they spent $6.5 billion. And this is what shocked. And because I know his wife, they told me they spent $6.5 billion to overthrow Shah and bring Khomeini without studying the fact that Khomeini was exiled to Iraq because he called Shah the puppet of America. He has really nothing against the Shah except America. Now, why would we give the country to a person like that? It wasn't like he was hiding being our enemy. And then to make it all better, when ISIS started reinventing themselves because they were in Iran, they force-killed Islam to Iran by killing all the Zoroastrians. To make it all better, they reinvented themselves. It took them a while. They have the money. They reinvented themselves. They call themselves Abu Bakr and Islamic State or whatever it is that is totally politics, has nothing to do with religion or God or loving God. They then what we do, we take all of these dictators that at least they were holding back these killers. They 2 million people were on the streets. The revolution was so organized, and I don't have any idea why what Carter was thinking to do. If you overthrow the Shah, why do you bring Khomeini? Khomeini is the enemy. So when they came and I was in Iran, we were harassed on a daily basis.
Because you were a moderate leader or a follower of the Shah?
No, I was not. Well, you know what? They would think anybody who's not with them was against them.
Okay.
So if I wasn't wearing those little chadors and if I wasn't over there fighting with people or killing people, we were against them. They would stop you for a car you were driving. Because in the beginning of revolution, it wasn't really, it was so disorganized everything. They harassed us, they took the monies, they took everybody's belongings, they killed them, they killed all these innocent generals, anybody, everybody that was pro-Shah was killed by Khomeini and his people. Because with him, this Mujahideen started. With Mujahideen, Muslim Brotherhood, and after Muslim, Al-Qaeda, which we didn't kill the head of Al-Qaeda, all this, Osama bin Laden was somebody that the head of Al-Qaeda, which is Al-Muzaffarin, they killed Osama bin Laden. That's why Al-Qaeda still exists. After that came Muslim Brotherhood, and then ISIS. ISIS stems from Al-Qaeda, but they started acting unilaterally and wanting to have Syria and Iraq as a state, Islamic state, but then now they want the whole area of Levant. That's why they call themselves ISIL, because they want more than just Syria. They want other places, other countries.
Looks like they want the whole world to me.
They want the whole world. They want the always. Khomeini always said in his lecture, that's why Shah exiled him. He was going to execute him, but he exiled him because he was saying that after we get Iraq, it's time for Israel, and we are going to be owning the whole world.
Right.
You know, it is so late because ISIS has given carte blanche to everybody to kill everybody, and then you're going to go to heaven. Firstly, people are not really educated about Islam to know that they're not going to heaven. That guy who went to Orlando, he's not going to go to heaven.
Of course not.
So now I was thinking actually that what we should do is do what Constantine did with Christianity about 300 years after Christ died. He embraced it. Why can't we make a white flag and write, God, there's no God? What do you think they say in that black flag? There's no God but the only God, and Muhammad is is the prophet of God. So why can't we just embrace and teach people what the right way of Islam is? Teach people. These are evil people. They're not God. They have nothing to do with God.
Well, Sherry, when you say embrace Muslim, do you suggest that other people who want to follow other ways of finding God?
No, I think Jewish culture and their ceremonial is amazing. My husband is Jewish. I love to do Shabbat and Passover. Christians, the same thing. But Islam, we shouldn't dismiss them because we call all of them terrorists. There are billions of good Muslims in the world. We shouldn't demolish Islam and the word of Muslim. It's blasphemy to call these killers Islamic. There's nothing Islamic about them. And you know, Cheryl, and I know these people. I confronted them. The word, they're not afraid of our armed forces. They're not afraid of getting killed because they really are not educated enough to even read and understand that when they run into Twin Towers, they're going to be the one who's condemned and the people that they killed are going to be martyrs. They really think some of them are so uneducated. You know, if you are, you believe in one God, you're Jewish, fine. If you believe in one God, you're Muslim, you're a Christian, fine. If you're Buddhist, believing in one God and you're enlightened. And so I say that if we follow the tenets of the Seven Commandments, which is basically the commandments of all of the prophets, I just got rid of the similarities, and practice that within ourselves, find God within ourselves.
Well, let me tell our listeners what the Seven Commandments, you've taken them from the three religions, and you've made it a little easier for people to see this is what they need to do to get to the point of being free. Free from the world and all the misbeliefs. And one is, your first one is, believe in the one God. There is a supreme force of power of creation. And
exactly.
You said, ward off evil, because that's like the law of attraction. What you embrace and engage, you will create and be part of. If you see something that doesn't work for you, you pray and you wish them well, and you take yourself out of the mix. That is the way not to have energy playing off each other and inflaming the whole situation. Then you say, believe in the hereafter, and know that the flow of energy in the universe has a balance, which is beautiful. Don't steal. And don't steal, that just means we don't want someone to hurt us and take something, so why would we take? It's, again, the law of attraction. Be charitable, honor your parents, pray continuously, and be grateful. When you pray, you don't have to be in prayer necessarily, but when you're in gratitude with a smile on your face, you're sharing with other people, you're allowing and accepting other people the way they are, you are in a constant mode of prayer. So that's what we want our listeners to see. That comes from all the religions. In my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote something. By seeking deeper knowledge of your soul and your heart energy and your life's purpose, you automatically begin to remember that you are more than your body, more than the material or physical world. You are part of a higher life force that is eternal and divine. This is spirituality, which is the sense of the soul wanting to know itself and connect to God personally. They all lead us in that direction, and it is the way that we will find ourselves out of the mess that we are in right now.
Like a rudderless ship in a fog, and religion is so simple, and it's within you. It's with God is within you, and God wants you to be happy. And it's so simple. It's not that complicated. When we make it complicated, if you answer your telephone, you're going on Sunday, Saturday, you're going to go to hell. That's not true. If you don't do five-time prayer, you're going to go to hell. That's not what Quran says. Quran says if you don't do Shabbat, do your five-time prayer. At the end of Quran says if you don't have time because you're working all day. Do your prayers other times.
Yes, let's just say to our listeners, if you allow the good in your heart, that divine spark that's in each of us that connects us to God and the universe and creation, if you allow that goodness to come out, the world will sparkle like the stars in the sky and sunshine above us, and we will find our way into the light. So I want to thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Brown, author of The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity, for sharing your remarkable understanding of the issues we talked about today and your search for truth and love of spirit and your efforts to show others a greater connection between the three main religions of the world. For more information and to purchase this book, go to sevencommand.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have shown the many confusing elements relating to society's worldwide growth and problems, and how religion was often used politically to foster control of the masses of people for the purpose of order and accumulation of money, land, and services from them. Religion has also sought to find peace and understand human suffering and ways to work in accordance with nature to better the lives of people. However, sometimes religion has been born out of fear and anguish of people's lack of resources and wisdom, as you were saying earlier about ISIS, and they're not educated. And that has created illusions and beliefs which do not benefit our modern world. It is now more than ever a time for personal self-awareness and growth. I would hope God and Spirit help us to find our true and lasting connection to higher consciousness, love of God, man, and nature, and that we each find our personal interaction or alignment to source, which will feed our humanity, compassion, and love for all life. Sherry and I would hope you begin to recognize where your own thoughts exist in love, fairness, and truth, and know which of the beliefs you were given in the name of God, which may still serve you, and which thoughts, beliefs, and actions no longer serve you. Be courageous. Move towards new thinking for what the world and each of us needs at this time of massive change and transformation. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear modern-day change makers, metaphysicians, religious teachers, spiritualists, scientists offer the way to see the world and yourself in the light of the creative force of the universe. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.
Thank you very much.